All right, so as you sit in the back, I'm just going to move closer, so then you'll become the front. You may as well just sit up front, because I'll stock you right down. You guys putting chairs out. What? I'm going to come closer to you. Look, you thought you tricked me, but you didn't. All right, so question for you, because I need a volunteer. I need like a tough guy. Any tough guys? There aren't many. There aren't many of them. All right, bro, get up here. Yeah. Here's what I need you to do. Are you athletic? I mean, I feel like you like just got drafted or something today, so maybe. Okay. Have you guys ever, how many of you guys go to school? Anybody go to school? None of you? You're all liars. You go to school. Okay, so everybody, pretty much. How many of you guys have exams coming up?
Yeah.
Yes. I thought you don't go to school. Why do you have exams? Oh, gotcha. How about, do you have homework?
Yes.
Some of you guys need it. I'm going to walk right up to you. And all right. How many of you guys have to do chores around the house? Anybody? You have chores? Mom and Dad don't make me. Yeah, okay. Lucky. How many of you guys, let's see, play a sport? Anybody? Any sports players in here? You get lots of practices? All right, so what I'm getting at here is you guys get a lot to do. Like, you're busy people, right? Do any of you feel like sometimes it's really hard to balance, like, school and sports and exams and all these homework and different things that you're doing? Anybody feel like that sometimes? You're like, how am I going to do all this stuff? Like, two of you. Good. Some of you guys, just your arm doesn't work, so you can't raise it. That's okay. I need you, Mr. Athletic Person, take this right here. Looks like a bobber. It's not. All right. Check it out. Make sure it's all like a normal ball. You guys feel like I'm going to do a magic trick right now, don't you? I'm not going to. All right. All I want you to do with that ball is going to represent, let's say, exams. All right. Those are your exams. I just want you to throw it up as high as you can in the air without hitting the ceiling and catch it. You better catch it. Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure. Okay, cool. So this one's going to represent sports. I need you to throw both of them up and then catch them both. Oh, come on, bro. Come on, bro. Grab them. Try again. You can, like, juggle them if you need to. I just need them moving. Just keep them in there. That's not juggling. All right. All right. Let's up the stakes a little bit. How about here's chores and here's homework. All right. Get them up there. All four have to go over your head and caught again. What's going on? How come you can't do it? I thought you're athletic, dude. All right. Does anyone feel like you could do that? Any jugglers in the room? Jordan, I know you want to try this. All right. Good try. Thanks, bro. Jordan, get up here. You're a juggler, though. Let's see if you can do it. Juggle these balls over your head. They represent the busyness of our life, okay? So go ahead. Try to juggle those puppies. All of them? All four need to go up because we got four big things. Go ahead, do it. All right, that was actually pretty good. That was pretty good. All right, listen, even the, like, talented Jordan had a really hard time juggling those. I know. Look, guys, life gets busy, and we're in, like, one of the busiest seasons of the year. We're in December when your mom and dad probably, like, their hair's turning gray, like, really fast, unless you're, like, they were already gray for a while. Fine. But, like, it gets crazy. You got Christmas, you got holidays, you got exams coming up, you get sports, you get all this stuff going on. And sometimes it's overwhelming. And you're looking at it and be like, how am I ever going to get all this stuff done? There's not enough time in a day to be able to do this stuff. And some of you guys get like this anxiety and you're like freaking out over stuff. You know that God actually talks to us about busyness. The Bible actually does talk about busyness. I want to read you a verse real quick. Job 34:12. Job is sitting here and he's having a pity party for himself. Ever have one of those? Pity party? No? You guys just don't talk. That's okay. I'll talk to myself. I have pity parties sometimes. And Job's kind of like getting down. And he's like, God, all this stuff's going on. All this bad stuff's happened to me. Why? And he's starting to question God. And he enters this conversation with God where he's kind of like getting sassy a little bit. He's like, God, what's going on here? And so God gives him an answer with a question. You ready for the question in Job 38:12? He says this. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? Basically, he looks at Job and he asks him the question. Have you ever made the sun rise, Job? Have you ever told the sun to go down at the end of the day? You ever been able to do that? And Job's like, And for the next couple chapters, God actually asks him all these questions about things that are so far out of Job's control. Do you tell the ocean how far it can go? Where it has to stay? Do you tell the moon to go around the earth or make the sun, the stars shine? Do you do any of that, Job? He's like, And just like those things are out of your control, Everything is. You see, this idea of control is fake. We think we control things in life. We want to control things in life. We try our best to maintain our schedules and do the things that we think are going to make a perfect life. And then one day we'll look up and be like, yeah, I controlled that well. I made a great life for myself. And God's like looking at us saying the same thing to Job. Like, really? When was the last time you told the sun to rise? Because in Hebrews, I know that Jesus is the one who does that. And he controls everything and holds it all together. It's Jesus who does those things. And so in the moments where we feel most out of control, and the craziest time of our lives, God's still going, hey, guess what? I'm the one who does it. So wake up, turkey, and start looking to me. Have you guys ever gone to someone's house like to stay for a weekend or whatever, like grandparents or like for holidays, your family goes and stays with your aunt or uncle or something like that? Anybody ever been a guest in somebody's house? Yeah, so all right. But this one time I was invited to a dinner at a family's house. And I was really pumped. I was like, cool, I got invited to dinner. This is fun. This lady cooked really good. And so I went over there, but here's the problem. The next day was the survivor retreat for like the high school that we did a couple years ago, right? And so because we were doing survivor retreat, one of the deals was that we were going to bring some live chickens that we were going to kill and clean and cook and eat ourselves. Some of you guys are like, yeah, we were there. It was so good. Derek makes a bomb chicken. And Mr. Crawford. But anyway, that's beside the point. You kill him nasty too, bro. It's crazy. He was like, anyway, sorry. Sorry, I make people throw up. The deal is I had those chickens. I had to go buy the chickens. They're in the back of my truck. They're in cages. I'm driving down the road. Feathers are going everywhere. It's like, bah-gah, bah-gah. And I pull up to this house where I was invited to dinner. And I had no choice but to bring the chickens with me because I live in Palm Bay. So I'm like, I can't bring them home. I got to just go to dinner. And so here I am pulling up to this house, invited to this nice dinner. I got a truck full of chickens. And it's hot. It's like the middle of the summer, and these chickens are in the back of my truck, like just looking at me like sweating beads, like, you're going to leave us here? I don't think chickens can do that, but it was something like that. And I'm like, if I leave the chickens out here, they're going to die. So I have to go up to, like, I'm knocking on the door. I'm like, look, here's the deal. Thank you for inviting me to dinner. I'm very grateful, but I have some chickens with me. And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah, live chickens, and they can't stay in my truck. Can I just like bring them in for a while so they can cool off? And she's like, what? So here I go, I grab these like cages of chickens and like, pecock, pecock, and I'm like walking into her garage, and she makes this space for all these like cages of chickens to be put in the garage. So we go eat dinner or whatever. After dinner, she needs some stuff from the store, so she sends me and my friend out, and we're like, all right, we'll go get it, don't worry about it. So as we're leaving, I'm like, but remember, I still have chickens in the garage. So can you like babysit my chickens for a while, and we'll be back later. Like, just take care of them, give them some water, make sure they're not too hot. And she's like, what? So here this lady invites me to dinner, and now she ends up babysitting chickens. I don't think she had that in mind, right? We go out, we like get stuff, we come back, her chickens are cool. But what if it wasn't just chickens? What if I had then like gone to my truck, and I pull out like a suitcase, and like, I don't know, some furniture. And I start like pushing that stuff in the living room. I'm like, hey, you mind if I leave this stuff here for a while too? Can I just like slide my dresser like over in the corner? How about, can I like just plop my luggage right down there in the middle of your living room? I'll just be a little while. I'm just going to store it in your house. Like, what the heck would she think about me if I did that? Like, this dude's crazy. Like, why are you leaving your stuff in my house? Well, I mean, it's just a good place to store stuff, you know. We'd think that person was totally nuts. Because we don't leave our stuff somewhere we don't live. Why am I rolling up with chickens to somebody's house and be like, hey, can you just like keep this here for me? They're like, you don't live here, bro. You know where your house is? This isn't it. And so I want you to keep in mind how strange that would be as we read this next passage, Psalm 39. And hear what David says. This is King David, and he's frustrated, and he's kind of upset, and he's here also, like Job, talking to God. And he's like, God, this thing's going on right now, and I'm so just frustrated. And here are his words. It says in verse 1, I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. But as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew worse. The more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. Here's what he says to God. Are you ready? Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You've made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We're merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. Rescue me from my rebellion. Don't let fools mock me. I'm silent before you. I won't say a word, for my punishment is from you. But please stop striking me. I'm exhausted by the blows from your hand. When you discipline us for our sins, you consume like a moth what is precious to us. Each of us is but a breath. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cries for help. Don't ignore my tears. For I am your guest, a traveler passing through as my ancestors were before me. Leave me alone so I can smile again before I'm gone and exist no more. Here's David. He's getting a little sassy with God too. All these guys are getting a little bit like risky, and they're telling God these things that are just so honest. They're like, man, my heart is broken in this situation. I'm standing here and I feel like life is out of control. And so as David starts to search those feelings and tell those things to God, you notice some of these things he says? Look at verse 4. Lord, remind me. Here's the king of a huge nation, a powerful nation. Now some of you guys are like, I'd love to be the king. It'd be awesome. I'd like lay there. It'd be people like dropping grapes in my mouth and fanning me. It'd be great. I'd just do that all day and watch football. Okay, but you also have to like rule a nation, okay? So this dude is like super busy. He's trying to keep people from killing each other and keep his people fed and ward off other armies, and he's doing all this stuff. And being the king is a very busy position. And so here he is in the midst of other things going on where he's heartbroken, and he's just like, God, I don't know what's going on. Where are you? And God brings him to the thought, this realization of something really big. He needs to remember. He needs to remember what was important, the reason why he turned and gave his heart to God in the first place. God, remind me. I've forgotten something here. And look at what he asked to be reminded of. How brief my time on earth will be. Our life is so short. He says, remind me that my days are numbered. And that God knows exactly how many days you will live. He knows how many times you'll breathe. He knows every single beat that your heart will ever beat. He's got them numbered till the day you die. God knows that. And David's like, you have my days numbered. How fleeting my life is. You know how short my life is, God. And here I am. I'm rushing around trying to do all this stuff. Build this empire, this kingdom. He's like, I really hope it's going to be worth something. Because life is so short. I have all this to do and little time to do it. I hope the things I'm spending my life on will actually matter in the end. He says, you've made my life no longer than the width of my hand. Think about like a timeline of your life and like all the years that you got, like 60, 80, whoever, I don't know how many years you're going to live, but God knows. But it's like long. And David's like, no, it's just like this long. It's like this long. Now, there's more to it than that, because the breadth of your hand, the width of your hand is how they measured things back then. So this podium, they'd be like, okay, this podium's like four hands wide or whatever. And they would use that as their basic form of measurement. It was a small form. It was like the smallest unit. And so what David's saying here is that my life is like the smallest unit of measurement. He goes on to clarify that my entire lifetime, the whole deal, check this out, is just a moment. It's just a second. As God looks down at your life, it's like, bink, it's like this tiny. And you're like, man, I'm in high school. Like I'm like 16, 15, whatever years old. I'm just starting my life. Take it from somebody old, like Matt. Like, I'm just kidding. Like, life's short. Ask an adult. Ask me later. I'll tell you, I'm about to die. I'm very old. Like, ask grandparents. Ask your parents. Like, how fast did your life go by? I'm just curious, like, how fast does life seem to you? Because you look really, you look like a dinosaur. I feel like you've been here forever. You know, like, did it feel like that? Did it feel that long? Just see what they say. Because almost everyone I've ever talked to about this subject has said, life goes by so fast, take advantage of it. when you're sitting with grandma or grandpa and they're like, listen, sonny, like you better take advantage of your life. And they're always like, it goes by so fast. It was just yesterday, I was a whippersnapper. And you're like, whoa, you're definitely old now. You know, like life is fast. And David's realizing this and he's saying, I'm doing so much stuff and my life is going by so fast. God, remind me. Remind me to take advantage of every breath because I don't know if I have another breath coming. Look at the next phrase. At best, each of us is but a breath. I need another athletic person. Somebody who can do like Navy SEAL stuff. Someone like that quality. Evan, you have a camo hat on. I feel like that's as close as we're going to get tonight. Get up here. Evan, I need your help. Come on, just quick. You're the man for this. I know it. I can feel it. God told me. Listen, here's what I need you to do. I need you, can you hold your breath?
Sure.
You can hold your breath. Okay.
For how long?
Just like 5 minutes or something like that.
Yes.
No? All right, no. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to hold your breath. Mm-hmm. All right? And somebody take your phone out and give me your little alarm clock thingamajig. Or Matt's got it. All right. Matt's going to time you. And we're going to see how long you can hold your breath for. All right? Ready? When I say go, you're going to go. Now, Mark, get set. Go. I'm going to feel, make sure you're not breathing, because I know you'll cheat. Tricking you. Don't make him laugh. Don't make him laugh. Where's he at, Matt? Where's he at?
We're at 13.
Are you cheating? I felt breath. You're cheating. How long was that?
That wasn't even 17 seconds.
17 seconds, bro. Come on, man. 17 seconds. All right, what if I came to you and I said, okay, you have 17 seconds to live. Enjoy it. Ready, go. What's your thought? Whoa, like 17 seconds, what am I going to do? I've only got 17 seconds. Now check this out. Because David wasn't talking about that necessarily in this passage, right? David was referring to a breath that you could see, a vapor. It was like a mist. So as you breathe outside when it's cold, you could see your breath. And you'd see this like little fog come out of your mouth. And then that lasts, what, a couple seconds maybe? And it just disappears. But we'll up the ante. We'll take it up a notch. And we'll say it's 17 seconds that this dude over here could hold his breath for. There was a girl who held her breath for 48, by the way, in junior high. But let's go with the 48. It's all right, Evan. What if he had 48 seconds? David's like, to God, my life is a breath. What if he had 48 seconds to live? Now, David's like, you really do only kind of have 48 seconds in a sense. Your life is going to go by so fast. It's so tiny compared to what God can see. You're going to have to make a choice. Every day when you get up, you're going to have to make a choice. Every time you go to school or get on that sports field or talk to a friend or see someone in need, you're going to have to make a choice. How you're going to use those couple precious seconds that you have that's life. And I know this is hard to believe right now. I know you're like, man, I got my whole life ahead of me. I haven't even gone to college yet. There's a kid who just died this week in one of our schools right here in this community. A high school kid. He was sitting where you're sitting. He was thinking, man, my whole life ahead of me. Oh, he didn't. Your life is a breath. If you live a full 120 years from now, your life is still going to go by like this, and every second is going to count. David says, remind me, God, to use this life for something that matters. It feels like I get so caught up with junk. Sports are awesome. They're fun. Yay, they'll get me places. Awesome, good. But is that going to matter when you're standing at the gates of heaven? Being cool in my group of friends, man, it's awesome. It's fun to be at that spot, but what's that going to count for when you're standing in front of Jesus? Getting awesome grades and getting in a really good college and having an awesome job to live in a mansion one day and drive a sports car, that's sweet. It's kind of like the American dream, but guess what? You can't take that with you when you die. What good's it going to do you? And David says that. Check out his next words. We're merely moving shadows. Like we're only here for a second. And all our busy rushing, our rushing around, it ends in nothing. All of it. All this hard work that we're doing, We still die. We still go into the ground. We heap up wealth. We try to get really rich, not knowing who will spend it. So many people just like working, 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 trying to make all this money and getting really rich, and they die and they have no idea who's going to end up with their money after them. It's not them who's going to be able to spend it. They're leaving it behind. Guys, there's so many things that you can choose to live your life for. And the problem is, right now, you're already making those choices. You've already been making those choices. You've got years behind your belt where you've been choosing something every second of every day. You can look back and see those choices and say, which ones actually mattered? Which ones are going to last? My challenge tonight is that you guys look forward and say, now from this point on, I'm going to start choosing, like David's saying here. In all this busyness, I'm going to pick the things that really count. I'm going to live for the things that actually are going to matter along this road and give up all these dumb dreams that will never end up anywhere. These things that I want so badly, but I'm going to have to leave behind one day. They're going to burn. I want to live for something that lasts forever. I want to live for something that actually matters. David says, so Lord, where do I put my hope? I'm looking back, I feel hopeless right now. I've been wasting my life. You know the answer? Look what he says next. My only hope is in you. Guys, if I die tomorrow, I hope I don't, but if I die tomorrow, I want to be able to die knowing that tonight you heard two things from me. That as you live your life, you love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. With everything that you are. And that you love His church. You love the people He died for and hung on a cross for. Because He says He's going to love the world through you. Love Him and love others with everything you are. So that when you look forward and you say, hey, this is how I'm going to live my life for something that matters, you do it the way God designed it. By loving Him and loving other people. By bringing His gospel to a lost world. So David, I'm going to skip down a few verses all the way down to the end of verse 12. He ends that passage by looking up to God and he says this, for I'm your guest. I'm just a traveler passing through as my ancestors were before me. Same deal as walking up to somebody's house and be like, hey, I'm just going to be here for the weekend, but I brought everything I own, and I'm just going to store it here. Is that cool? I'm just going to bring my chickens in, and I'm going to bring my luggage in, and the whole deal, it's all coming in your house. Like, that's absurd. It's insane. Why would we do that? You don't live here. But with our lives, we tend to do that. And David's like, remind me that I am just a visitor on this planet. I'm not going to be here forever. My days are numbered. I'm going to die. Let me live for where I'm going to go. Let me live for heaven. Let me live for my home. I want to start storing up my treasures and sticking them up there in my heavenly garage or whatever it is I got up there. But I want to live in a way that matters, that changes lives, that changes eternity because of my actions now. I don't want to live for, you know, a 10-year change. Ooh, good. I'm going to live in a way that's going to change forever. But that's your choice. It's your choice tonight to listen to what I'm saying and actually believe it. Being like, God's word says it, I believe it. That's God speaking out loud to us right now. Or say, Rob, you know what you're talking about. Man, I'm having too much fun. These things are just too awesome. I want to live for this stuff. I want to experience this stuff. I don't want to miss out. You're not missing out. It's going to burn. Live for something that matters. Spend that life and that busyness in a way where you're actually glorifying God. When you break up in your groups in a minute, you're going to talk about a different passage, and I want to go over it real quick with you because I think it highlights what David's saying really well. It's in Luke chapter 10. You guys know the story of Martha and Mary? Jesus comes to their house, and he's a visitor there. And they're like really excited he showed up, so they both kind of welcome him in, but they do it in two very different ways. Check this out, Luke 10, 38 to 42. It says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Mary's spending her life, those precious seconds, those precious moments, doing the most important thing, the thing that will never, ever burn, that will never be taken away. And here's Martha. She's like, "Jesus, like, he's the king of the universe. Here he is. It's the Son of God is in my house. I got to go clean these pans, and I got to wash the carpet, and I got to make sure the door's clean, and the windows, which they didn't have back then, are really, really clean. Like, I need to, everything needs to be perfect. The food has to taste awesome. Make sure there's not too much salt in it." And she's like freaking out. And she's like, "Jesus, what the heck? Like, my sister's just sitting there? Like, I'm trying to do all this stuff for you." And Jesus is like, "Martha, you missed the whole point. You're excited that the Son of God's in your house. And I'm honored that you're doing those things, but you're missing the best portion here. You see, even good things, good grades, studying really hard, school, sports, all these different things that we do, even church, sometimes can distract us in busyness that take our eyes off the most important thing in the room." And Jesus is like, "Will you spend your life here with me? Enjoy me, love my people, serve my people, live in a way that it will never be taken away from you. If you invest your life in Jesus, you're investing in eternity. If you invest in junk now that makes you happy for a little bit, it's going to stay junk." And Jesus' words say, "Don't do that. Invest in me." And I want to end with one verse I want to read you. Colossians chapter 3, verses, actually it's two verses, 23 and 24. Listen to this verse, these verses. "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." And sometimes we read this verse in like our sports, like our coaches and stuff like to give it to us so that we like work really hard. If I tell them it's for Jesus, they'll work harder on the field or something like that. Like we use it and we focus on the hard work. But there's a key ingredient to that verse that radically changes the entire context of the verse. In serving the Lord. So everything that you're doing, you should do it hard. But the point is that you're doing everything for Jesus. So you tell me I have to give everything up in my life, Rob, I can't do anything. No, I'm telling you that everything in your life, if it's used for Christ, you get to hand that to him as a treasure one day as you're standing at the gates of heaven and say, "I played sports for you in a way that modeled the gospel of Jesus, and it opened conversations for me to tell people about my faith and introduce them to an eternity with God of the universe. I didn't just run a pigskin down the field. I didn't just spike a volleyball across the net. I didn't just study really hard every night and waste my time doing all this homework just so it could burn up at the end of my life. I used it as opportunities to love you with all my heart, to love other people and serve them well, to be a part of God's family, the church. And I used it to share the gospel with people who had no idea who God was. Everything that I do, I want it all to be about you, God. So when I look at this crazy schedule that I have, I don't see craziness anymore. I see a God who is in control of everything, who's going to redeem every single thing I do and say, it's being used for me. It's being used for my gospel. It's being used for my people. So do it to your best, because it's all going up to heaven as eternal rewards. Where's your heart in it? Are you living your life for you tonight? Is your schedule busy because you like to be busy? Because you like to do lots of stuff? Because one day you want to end up being this like supreme being because you've done some really cool things? Or are you doing it because God looked down at you with mercy and said, "My son's dying for you, And you're responding to that love by saying, take everything in my life, God. I want to live it for you. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you that you've given us life. God, that we can sit here and we can hear you speak to us through your word, and you're saying it to us tonight. It's not some old words. They're real. They're right now. You're saying these things to us. God, I pray that as we leave here, your Holy Spirit would show us ways to apply these truths. It wouldn't just be listening. Oh, that's a cool thing we learned tonight. But God, that your Holy Spirit would show us how to really let that truth change us. Help us to live for you in ways that are eternal. Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he loved us enough to die for us. That he controls everything. And I pray tonight for faith, that we have the faith to trust Christ and to give you all of our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.